I wanted to take just a minute this morning and speak to anybody that planning to be baptized next Sunday and remind you that we're planning that service. I want to just mention a couple things. I felt God quicken my heart. You know, the Bible says in the Great Commission, Mark 16, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I've learned over the years, when you take all the scriptures and put it together, that there is an element of salvation that's released to God's people at the time of baptism, if they believe. But we know that believing in Jesus Christ is what really brings salvation. What kind of salvation does baptism bring? We find a text, I'm not going to turn to it, but I can tell you the picture, and you'll pick it up immediately. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it talks about how the world was corrupt in the days of Noah, and he built the ark. And before the flood came, he and his family, there was eight of them, were in the ark. And so they were saved, they were preserved during a time when there was corruption on this earth. And that's a powerful baptism, a promise that God brings. I mean, through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. But after we accept Christ, and the Bible teaches that, you know, baptism has to be a choice of a believer. And I ran into that problem. I was a young man. I just was a freshman up at school, up at Greeley. And, you know, the Lord had put me in an off-campus home. It just happened to be the home of a Pentecostal couple. And so as a young Presbyterian boy, I was exposed to their testimony. And they invited me to their church. And when I would go, I was a little bit confused because I knew I'd been baptized in Presbyterian church. I was baptized as a baby. But they talked to me along the lines that that was a dedication. That was something that my parents did. Tiny baby can't make that kind of a choice. The Bible says we're to believe and then be baptized. And I looked at the scriptures, and I remember a particular text in Romans chapter 6. I might just take a moment. Listen to these words. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. So after Christ died, he was buried. I'd just been sprinkled. I wanted to be buried. I wanted to fulfill all obedience. I read in Matthew chapter 3 that Jesus fulfilled all obedience, and he was immersed in water in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And the picture is beautiful as it came across to me. We're buried with Christ, and of course he resurrected, he came forth. It says we're raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and we walk in newness of life. And that's a beautiful picture of water baptism. I don't regret that decision. It was a tough one for me because I came from a denomination, and Carol and I were just dating at the time. Well, her family wasn't really happy with me. That's not what they were teaching. But it was a conscious thing with me. I wanted to follow Jesus in baptism. And I feel God's kept me safe all these years. It's like Noah and his family were kept in the ark. I mean, a lot of people today are trusting Obamacare and also trusting in Romney Care. But I'd rather be under Jesus' care. Believe me, baptism is important. And I just encourage people. We're living in a difficult hour. And I've found some people that later in their life, they followed the same pattern that I did because they came from a background where they weren't taught that. They were dedicated. But don't you want to fulfill all righteousness? Jesus said it, Matthew chapter 3. So when we baptize people next Sunday, it's not just a matter of getting wet, but you're publicly identifying with all the angels, with God, that you believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And then we pray, just like what happened to Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the dove, gently came upon his life. I'm thankful that I made that decision. I'm thankful for the anointing of God. I want all the benefits that the Lord has. How many can say that? So be open if you have any questions concerning water baptism. It's not something where you just get wet. There's something that happens in the Spirit. And after that terrible flood and all that corruption came on the earth, Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife all walked out of that ark. They were safe. They were kept. If God wants to put a special protection on my life, I want to take, if I have to take a stand, I want to take the right stand. So I just felt I was to say that. If you have any questions this week, you feel free to call us, or we'd be glad to meet with you. Today is Father's Day, and I want to share a special word that the Lord put on my heart concerning fathers. There's a, if I can find it, a booklet in the Christian Education series that I was able to write. This is a reprint, so I can't even tell you that the exact date. There's no date in here, but it's like 40 years ago. And when I think about it, this was the first book, as I remember, that the Lord let me get put in print. And after all these years of ministry, now I can understand why he put it first, because of its tremendous significance. And it's entitled, "There Was No Intercessor." This goes back to a time in Israel's history where it's quoted in the book of Isaiah that, there had been a great falling away and corruption and so forth was taking place, injustice, dishonesty, all kinds of things. And the Lord was looking for his people, not only to pray, but he said he was looking for a man that would step in and be an intercessor. He found none. So that anointing to be an intercessor is something I believe that has to come on somebody's life, because they love their country. They love people. And they not only want to pray, but they want to step into a place of intercession. And this book is a great challenge. We've had it reprinted many times and sent out to a lot of people. I think it's very important. And I just want to share a few thoughts that I hope will be a blessing to fathers. Concerning prayer, maybe I'll look at Luke 19 if you want to turn there, verse 45. Hallelujah. Verse 45 of that chapter says, Jesus came into the temple in Jerusalem, and he began to cast out those that were selling things that he didn't appreciate. And he said in verse 46, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." I think of many of the verses that I've committed to memory in prayer, like God wants us to have a special prayer life where we can come to him with our requests and with our petitions. Matthew 21:22, "All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And when you think of the greatness of God, size of this universe, and he created all, and yet he wants to have face-to-face fellowship with us, want us to come to him. 2 Peter 1:4 says we're actually partaking in a fellowship with the divine nature. And if you think of prayer, it's pretty important to God. In the Old Testament tabernacle, you remember they had pieces of furniture. The piece that's the highest in inches, feet, was the altar of incense. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 2, let your prayer be set before God as incense. It goes up. So I think God is telling me right there, there can't be a higher ministry or higher privilege than coming to God in prayer. Regards intercession, and most of us have a picture of prayer. We can bring our requests and our petitions. But the Bible tells us there is a linkage between prayer and intercession, but they're listed separately. And just things I've picked up and learned from those that are far more scholarly than I am, there is a difference between prayer and intercession. I want to give you a couple of illustrations. In fact, I wish you would turn with me to a real good one in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. This is an experience that involved Moses. In verse 7, I'll pick it up in this verse 7 of this chapter. And the Lord said to Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which you've brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I remember being at the site of Mount Horeb and remember reading and thinking about this picture here. Moses had been on top of the mountain with the Lord, received the Ten Commandments and so forth. Down below, the people were moving back away from the Lord, back to their Egyptian religious tradition, and they built a golden calf. And it was a false way to worship. God was very displeased, and he told Moses to get down. They've corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, and they hadn't been there long. They're not keeping my commandments. They've made a golden calf, and they're worshiping it. They're sacrificing unto it. They say, these be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They weren't even giving Jehovah, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the credit for bringing them out of Egypt. And you can imagine how the Lord was offended. And he said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, leave me alone. I'm mad. I'm going to exercise my wrath, told Moses. And here's a pretty shocking statement. He told Moses, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to make a new nation of you. The nation's not going to be called Israel. It's going to be called Moses. That's how angry God was. What did Moses do? He just didn't pray. But here's an example of intercession. Intercession, to me, as I may see, Chris has a tremendous problem. He doesn't know what to do with it. He's not dealing with it. He needs help. I'm just going to go step in his shoes. I'm just not going to pray. I'm going to put myself between him and God. And I'm going to see to it, by intercession, that God responds on his behalf because of what I can do. That's intercession. Here's what Moses said. I can't live with that decision, God. You brought us up out of Egypt. Why are you so angry? Your wrath so hot? Because God said, Moses, you brought the people up. And Moses said, no, God, you brought them up. Moses taking a strong stand. God, you brought them up with great power and a mighty hand. Where therefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief thou did bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from face of the earth? So he's standing in the midst of a problem. And he says, God, you need to turn away your fierce wrath. Can you imagine somebody saying, God, you need to repent? That's what my Bible tells me he did. You got to change your mind, God. And he's standing in between the people and God. He says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, they're your servants. They served you. And you swear to them. You told them, you gave them your word that you would bless their seed and you would give them a land, make their seed as the stars of heaven. You said they'd inherit that forever. Moses, in intercession, he turned away the wrath of God from Israel. And the Bible says the Lord repented. And that was a tremendous act by a man who was filled with the love of God. You just can't say, suddenly I'm going to be an intercessor. You got to be filled with the love of God. Love your country. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children, your grandchildren. Love your enemy. And all I can say is today, we have a nation called Israel. It's not called Moses. Moses interceded. I believe in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If ever the church needed intercessors, it's today. Back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, there was no man that stood up, the Lord said. I'll give you a second illustration. Forgive me for making it personal, but I've experienced this enough to know what a great anointing can come on our lives when we become an intercessor. I was on the island of Guam. We had just built a new facility in Arvada. And part of concluding that project, we thought we had approved a youth home. We'd already done some foundation work and so forth and spent some money on it. And suddenly, you know, Satan's always looking for a way to hurt you and stop you. He steals, he kills, and destroys. There was a fermentation. I won't mention where it came from, but it came out of Arvada. They shouldn't be able to build a home that's going to be filled with a lot of kids in a residential area. I get this telephone call in Guam. My wife said, "Boy, you better come home. It's going to be a special hearing of the city council." She told me the whole situation. Well, you know, I was naturally shaken. And I remember on that flight home, I didn't do any crossword puzzles. That wasn't what was on my mind. We thought we had an approval for this portion of a ministry. Now we're told we can't complete it. We've already spent money. I knew where this was coming from. And during that flight, I know I was broken. Tears were easy. But I felt a special anointing came on my life. I knew God heard my prayer. When I got off that plane, I was in possession of knowledge from God of exactly what to do and what was going to happen. I just had to put it in. Intercession did it. It was done. I had a love for that place, for the people, for the ministry. I love God. Holy Spirit came with a spirit of intercession. I put myself between the city and that place. And the Lord had instructed me to contact an attorney friend that I knew, Christian brother. And when we came before the city council, that place was packed. Naturally, a lot of young people were there. And our attorney, I won't mention his name, he's a great friend. He did a tremendous job. He interviewed some of the young people. And I'll tell you what, if you come to a tense situation when there comes a time to vote. I think there was five people sitting on city council. They punch a button, like it can be green or red. Yes or no? Yes, no, yes, no. One vote left. I knew what God had told me on the plane. Green, that place exploded. Afterward, the gentleman made that crucial vote, said, something came over me, and I just knew that if the Catholics can build a facility among the public that houses a whole group of nuns, then you could have your church with your children in a youth home. Green. People, that was such a blessing just to see God fulfill that. But I'll tell you, it didn't come easy. There had to be some intercession. Just to picture the spirit of intercession, would you turn with me to Psalm 107, please? I want to read something. Hallelujah. I found myself at different times in the very place where I'm going to read. Some of you may be there now. Maybe your next step is intercession. You're not limited what God can do. Psalm 107, verse 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. I was on a Pan Am flight. I was in deep waters spiritually. Those that move into that without fear and seek God, they'll see the work of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Don't we sometimes use that cliche, you know, if something's going wrong financially or health-wise or something, so-and-so's in deep waters. For He commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. I mean, those spiritual waves wanted to inundate me on that long flight home with the negative, with fear, condemnation that we went ahead of what we should have gone ahead of. How did this happen? You know the pattern. The spiritual waves were coming. Verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again into the depths. I've been in places like that. I know what God can do. I haven't always been successful, but I know what He can do. Their soul is melted because of trouble. People reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man or at their wit's end. But if they go out in that ship of intercession and stay in there, don't give place to what the enemy wants to do. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. I knew when I got off the plane, the victory was already won. Just had to be acted out. God made that storm a calm. Could have been tragic. A lot of kids that have been helped in that youth home system, might not have ever happened. God quieted the waves. He made them quiet. He brings His people into their desired haven. That's what prayer and especially intercession will do. Verse 31 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I thank God for that ship called intercession. One of our ladies in the congregation was given this just in the last couple of weeks. Church, she says, my blessings are upon you. The mighty wind is going to come. I believe people hear from God today. Time is short. When this wind comes in, it will be a wind of protection. I've claimed that over this sanctuary, over these people. And you will be full of joy. The enemy wants to come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 59:19, lifts up a standard against him and says, no way. I thank God that we serve a God like that. I thank God for that ship of intercession. People, there's some situations that are likely before you, like I've faced many times, that they're going to take that extra step. Not just bringing your petitions to God. I know in our prayer meeting yesterday, one of the men brought out that we not only have to be thankful for our fellowship one with another, but we at times need to step in and claim a blessing for somebody else. That's what intercession does. You're literally, somebody else can't make it. You step in their shoes and stand between that situation and God. Look what Moses did. It's very clear. He changed the mind of God. We all have that opportunity. I could think of so many. I just one that comes to mind. Remember, Stephen was such a anointed deacon in the early church, and he had gone up to, you know, Samaria, and was part of the move of God, and part of the move of God in Jerusalem. And he came to the place where he so infuriated that the Pharisees and the legalistic Jews that they wanted to kill him. And you remember how when they brought him to stone him, that his garments were held by a Jewish boy called Saul. You can read about it, Acts chapter 7. Became the great apostle. How did he become the great apostle? Before Stephen died, he interceded with God for that boy, and he said, "You forgive him, God." All you have to do is read a couple more chapters in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, and God slammed that boy down on the Damascus Road, changed his mind about things. Thank God for Stephen's intercession. We don't often think about that. Intercession can take serious matters, serious situations, and change things. I remember a great scholar who I learned so much from. He's just not too long ago passed on. He was an Englishman. And he talked about interceding for his country, for the Western Allies in the Second World War, and how God put him in a place of intercession. And who knows, that's part of why England triumphed, part of why America triumphed. Put himself in a place of intercession. I can't draw, and you'd laugh at it if you saw my little picture here, but I tried to draw a little picture. I should have had a six-year-old draw it, of a boat. I just wanted to pray for our people that, boy, when God calls you and you have the heart for it, probably the greatest potential you have, the highest privilege you have, is not only to pray, but to intercede. You set yourself between a situation and God, and your heart is right, and you stand. Something will happen. Something will happen. I remember a man later that came to me, and he was part of that uprising. He apologized for what he had done. He said, "It's a good thing I did it when I did, because God almost took my life." Thank God he was big enough to confess it. So don't overlook the potential as the head of the house. Some things you just can't let go. You've got to step in that place. I'm speaking especially to men. We have a little gift we wanted to give all the men today. It says, "Men who walk with God never walk alone." And would you guys come up, Jeff? We'd like to conclude our service. We don't want to just give people a pen, but George, come and stand down with me. We'd just like to have the opportunity to pray that the kind of anointing that was on Moses could be on you for a situation that you're facing with your family or wherever God calls you to intercede. Thank God for prayer. Maybe God's going to call you to get into that boat of intercession. And great things will happen. Don't we need that for our country? How many can see that need? Amen. I won't ask you to stand. You can just, but as Sydney, who's going to bring those pens down? Do we have them? Hallelujah. Want to send her down with those pens? Before you go home, men, just let us say a quick prayer over your life. We'll have some of these young people pass you a pen. I remember being in Israel, and one of the things that's always impressed me is how young people would say, Abba, Abba, or Father. And it always has a sweet ring to me. So as you come up to men, let us pray. A special anointing will be upon your life this Father's Day.